is time once again for Speaking of Schools and our monthly teacher feature here on 97.9 The Hill. May is Mental Health Month, and because of that, we are featuring some different district staff and educators than we normally would. Instead of classroom educators, we're talking about some of the critical support staff that we have in our schools in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools District. And joining me to talk about mental health in our district and Mental Health Month are three of those mental health professionals at CHCCS. On the call with me is Dr. Charlis Banks, who is the Chief of School Support and Wellness for CHCCS. Dr. Banks, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me, Brighton. Glad to be here.
We also have on the call Kelly Hotchkiss, who is the mental health specialist for Estes Hills Elementary and Culbreth Middle School. Hello, Kelly.
Hello. Yes, I'm looking forward to being a part of this.
And we also have Ann Levin, who's the mental health specialist for Phoenix Academy, which is the alternative school in CHCCS. Ann, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Banks, I wanted to start with you. We have obviously been talking about mental health a lot this past year, these past few years, and certainly more within the last decade than it feels like we ever really have before in a more direct manner. But since we're now here in Mental Health Month, I kind of wanted to ask how mental health has been evolving more in the short term, maybe from like a year-to-year basis. So what have you noticed in terms of how we are continuing to see conversations and approaches change when we're talking about mental health in schools?
So I will say first and foremost, with Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, one of the special and unique things about our district is that we have prioritized mental health and wellness for some time. I think that given the fact of the pandemic, it's hard to believe 3 years ago that hit us and all of the things that were happening during that time period, I think that it has elevated where we have more folks who have joined us in understanding that this is a priority. In our district, we have had the supports from the traditional folks of school counselors, school nurses, psychologists, and social workers. But most recently, one of the things we've been able to elevate to support with our students are our mental health specialist positions. They have served a very critical role in helping us to bridge that continuum of services from what's happening at the school base to also our special partnership that we have with the community, where we're also able to offer co-located mental health services where students are able to receive actual therapy in our schools. So I will just say, I guess the simple statement is that we've been able to grow the work that we started long ago since the situation with the unfortunate pandemic and the social and mental strain that has had on us.
And we know that that is important because that strain existed before the pandemic and then it just continued to grow. Kelly, turning to you, I'm hoping you can put kind of a voice to the perspective inside the schools. What do you see when it comes to the need for mental health awareness and mental health resources, like Dr. Banks was just saying, in elementary and middle schools?
Yeah, well, I would say both in elementary and middle schools, like Dr. Banks mentioned, you know, the stress of the pandemic really put a lot of pressure on not only the students, but the teachers and just kind of the overall school communities. And I think a lot of people felt very out of touch and not having as much support as they were used to when the pandemic happened. So then, you know, once we've been back in the schools, we've been able to see, you know, not only the gaps in learning, but those social emotional learning gaps of kids not being with each other and not having those supports that are built in within the school communities. So there's really been a lot of great need of rebuilding those supports and also helping kids reconnect with their school communities and find safe places within those communities and the support they need.
How do you feel like kids, especially on the younger side for elementary school, engage with the topic of mental health? And what differences, you know, do you guys as the specialists take an approach compared to middle schoolers or high schoolers?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, we really, it's surprising how much young kids are willing to open up and talk about their emotions and their feelings and how big those feelings are and how they might feel anxious about coming to school or they might feel worried. And you know, helping them have the language and the tools to communicate those needs to their teachers and their friends and their families. You know, a lot of times they have those big feelings and it's just really learning how to effectively get them out. But we focus a lot on wellness and even mindfulness tools. We've at our elementary, we've done a Mindful Monday since the pandemic. And we've taught kids about meditation and being aware of how to slow down and recognize those feelings. And kids really love it and engage with it. And so I think it's kind of created a school culture of focusing on your own mental wellness even before your educational needs.
Turning to you now, Anne, I know that you are over at Phoenix Academy, which is kind of the alternative school for CHCCS. What is the need for mental health resources and awareness there? And also, are there any ways that you kind of engage with those students that is maybe different from others in the district?
You know, I think Phoenix Academy is really unique. We are, I think, a little ahead of the curve from other schools. We are a trauma-sensitive school. So before kids even get here, we get referrals from other high schools within the district. We sit down with families and all the students and discuss their histories with any adverse childhood experiences they might have, any experiences they may have in other schools with bullying, depression, anxiety. We kind of already have mental health embedded in our curriculum on some level. And so it's just part of our culture here. Kids come in knowing what to expect. They feel comfortable in talking about some of their past experiences and their feelings, their anxieties. We kind of start off running in terms of team building and engagement and developing relationships and connections with our students right off the bat. So it's kind of a luxury. We are a very small school. We only have a maximum of 40 kids. So we get to know our students really well in terms of their mental health needs and in terms of their experiences and their social emotional learning in terms of like what's going to help them be the most academically successful.
We're speaking with Anne Levin, who we were just hearing from there. We also have Kelly Hotchkiss on the call and Dr. Charlis Banks talking about Mental Health Month, mental health awareness as well in CHCCS. Turning back to you, Charlis, we saw that as part of this month and the resources that your department puts out, there's a new 2023 mental health toolkit for CHCCS. I'm hoping you can kind of walk us through what is in that toolkit and how your team typically puts that together.
Absolutely. So we do pull from community resources such as organizations like NOMNY and Mental Health of America Association to pull those evidence-based practices together in one place to be able to support our students, teachers, and also our families. One of the things that I will highlight in terms of that toolkit is that we are also hosting special events for other folks to join us in this work in building their skills to be able to promote mental health wellness and also promote a skill-based approach to being able to deal with mental health issues such as chronic stress. And so one of the examples of how we're building that coalition is through our students. We are planning to offer mental health youth first aid training for our team to really be able to support their peers and being able to identify the first initial signs of a student who may be dealing with the mental health issues and how do they navigate and get them connected with the appropriate supports. We will also be offering special events where our parents can also receive some of that initial training. And so those are just two examples of some of the information that's in our toolkits. So it's not something that you have to be a licensed clinical social worker or a school psychologist to be able to learn and teach those skills. But with the community resiliency model, anyone can actually pick up those skills, share those with others to help them reduce their stress level, reduce their experiences from trauma, and elevate them to a very positive state of mental wellness.
We know that that is an incredible step and an important step in all of this mental health boosting of awareness. And Kelly, turning back to you, Charlis mentioned some events that are tied with that, but the toolkit is a year-round resource. Is there anything in particular that you've been doing in your schools for Mental Health Month to kind of raise awareness and help the students and staff out?
Yeah, actually, we've been planning different events for both the elementary and middle school level, which I've been really excited about this year. So in the middle school level at Colberth, we did student mental health focus groups. So the students actually planned the mental health activities. And so the students planned one day, which was last Friday. And the first 10 minutes of every block or every period, there was an activity that they would do in class with their teachers. So there was, we had some gratitude journals where they would watch a video and then just think about things that bring them joy, or just to say thank you for that they might kind of force them to slow down, that they, you know, might not normally think about, and kind of reset their mind in a mindful way. We did some different games. There was a get to know other students in your class that you might not normally talk to. There was a guided meditation one period. There was some chair yoga. They also did a get to know your teacher game, which the students were like super excited about. That was fun to see that they wanted to involve their teachers in that. And the end of the day, they all made green braided bracelets to wear for mental health awareness, since green is the color of Mental Health Month. And so they were looking forward to making the friendship bracelets and talking about why mental health matters. And it was really focused on wellness and how mental health isn't really a stigma as much as we all have mental health and we all need to take care of it. And I like that idea of, if you don't take care of it, then it becomes more of a problem. So it was focusing on how we can slow down and really take care of ourselves and take care of each other. So I like that idea, and the students were really excited about it.
They sound like fantastic exercises that I'm sure all of us could honestly benefit from. And I'm turning to you now. I know that you mentioned that mental health is kind of baked into what Phoenix Academy does on a day-to-day, but is there anything that you've been doing with the school, particularly for this month?
You know, we start out the school year with a bang, and with all the students and staff, and doing team building exercises, and that kind of carries through throughout the year. We go to Chestnut Ridge, where we do low ropes courses with all the students and staff to build relationships and make those connections. We do that once a semester with all our new students. We now have a mental health affinity group that is part of our mental health summit, a group of students that kind of are leaders in mental health. They may have shared mental health experiences, or they may want to go into the field. Whatever has drawn them to that group, they kind of planned out some of the activities for this past month and the month before. We keep it simple. We do word searches with coping skills, and then we process what some of those are, and we share those with the students, and the students share them with themselves. It's basically, like I said, embedded into our program twice a week.
We have just a few moments left, so I want to turn back to Dr. Charlis. And I wish we had more time, because this is kind of the biggest question remaining. But what do you believe is kind of the next big step for CHCCS to take when it comes to mental health resources or mental health awareness in our schools? In your mind, kind of what's the next big thing that you're hoping to do with your department?
So with our department, our ultimate goal is to create and deliver a continuum of services around mental health that addresses the universal promotion. So some of those things that Ann and Kelly have highlighted are just general things that we can do to promote mental wellness. And then also being able to provide preventive to intense interventions for our students as they need them. And so I think Kelly did a beautiful job talking about just how we start off with mental wellness, right? Those are just core strategies that everyone knows to do to just kind of help themselves stay in a healthy mental state. But then there are times that we know, even as adults, that children experience mental health issues. So thinking about our students as they matriculate through school and they're taking these high intensive courses, that builds upon that stress and anxiety that starts to grow in them as they feel those pressures. And so how do we teach them to recognize those signs that may become a physical part of their bodies, and how to respond to those, and how to actually decompress and be able to relax through mindfulness or some of those mental health walks? We want to be able to provide that for our children, because we know that their mental well-being is prioritized over their academic success. So if they're not mentally healthy, then they're going to have a hard time being able to sustain that success academically. And so that would be our goal in terms of being able to foster that resilience and wellness across all of our students so that they can be successful and develop into the best versions of themselves.
Well, for listeners out there who want to learn more about the specific resources at the schools, of course, you can check out the school's individual websites, but chccs.org is the district website. That's the place to go for the most recent mental health toolkit that Dr. Charlis Banks' team has put together. Thank you so much to you, Dr. Banks, and thank you to Kelly Hotchkiss and Ann Levin for also joining us for this month's Speaking of Schools teacher feature. Thank you all, and thank you for all of the work that you guys do in the district, and especially during this month, Mental Health Month.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brighton.